Good evening, everybody. Welcome to episode of Living Light Outdoors. On the mic with you in the office. It's Friday. We've made it to the weekend. It was a fast roll in the wind, I hope, for most of us. Man, what a week this has been. God has been pouring some things into me. We've spent a lot of time. We've been talking about God's presence. We've been talking about troubles and trials and enduring things and problems and things that we seem to be facing. And, you know, I was talking to a shop owner today. I was picking up a part, and we were discussing the trials and the struggles that it seems like so many of us have found ourselves in. And not just in general, but even followers of Christ, even those who profess the faith and follow the faith and serve the Lord strongly, we're all facing very difficult things. This has been an interesting year, and that was the words that came out of the shop owner's mouth of, this has been an interesting year. It's been a tough year. It's been tough on many of us. It's been with physical challenges and things that, yeah, I know, things that come with age. But it really does seem as if this last year, or maybe even a little longer than just this last year, maybe the last two or three years, have really been challenging on a lot of men and women of faith. And I note that, I take note of that, I watch that type of thing, and I see it, and I understand. That's why we've been talking a lot about spiritual warfare and talking a lot about what it means to walk through these fiery trials with our head up, with faith. And it brought me to a message today that I'm going to jump back on the trials and tribulations thing, but I titled this Troubles and Trials. In Romans chapter 12, Paul's exhorting his believers that he's talking to there to walk in dedicated service to the Lord. He spends a great deal of this passage speaking of how we are to act, walk, and talk as followers of Christ. I would really encourage you, I really wanted to use the entire passage of Romans chapter 12, but I don't have time. Go read Romans 12 and look at how Paul is exhorting us as followers of Christ to live in such a way that it resembles being followers of Christ. But I want to key in on verse 12. This is Romans chapter 12, keying in on verse 12, where it says, "Constantly rejoicing in hope because of our confidence in Christ, steadfast and patient in distress, devoted to prayer, continually seeking wisdom, guidance, and strength." Now, you basically can pull three or four things out of this. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation, be patient in the midst of your trial, and be constant in prayer. It helps to remind us that we are to always be in prayer, that constant communication line. The Bible tells us we're to pray without ceasing. We're to constantly have that communication line open. Do not get afflicted when tribulations come. Another word you could use there for afflicted is offended. Don't take the bait. Satan dangles the bait of offense in front of us constantly. Well, did you hear what so-and-so said? Well, I thought he said this about you. Don't take that bait. Don't get afflicted when tribulations and trials come your way. Always have hope. Here are a handful more of scripture that can point us maybe down this same path before we get into the meat of this message. Psalm chapter 73, verse 26 says, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." These are refrigerator prayers. These are ones you should note. That was Psalm 73, 26. Take a note of that and go look that one up. Mark that in your Bible. John chapter 14, verse 27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." I think when you find that in John 14, 27, you'll find those letters in red. That's Jesus himself speaking to us. Psalms 46, 1. "God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble." That's a great. God is our refuge and our strength. He's a very present help in times of trouble. Psalm 46, 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort." God is our comforter. God is the God of all comfort. 2 Corinthians 1, 3. Psalm 119:76, let your steadfast love comfort me according to your promise to your servant. This is a promise to, from God. Let your servant, let your steadfast love comfort me according to your promise to your servant. Psalms 119:76. And John 16:33, I have said these things to you that you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. In this world, we're going to have trials. We're going to have tribulations. We're going to have heartache. We're going to have struggles. We're going to have challenges. We're going to stub our toe. We're going to skin our knees. We're going to break a bone. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Again, letters in red. John 16:33. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation. But take heart. I have overcome the world. What are the reality of trials? In introducing his first epistle, the Apostle Peter addresses a persecuted church, dispersed and scattered abroad. They were discouraged and probably confused at the persecution that they were facing because of their faith. You ever found yourself in that place where maybe you were a little discouraged and maybe a little confused that, man, you gave your life to Christ and now you're at war? It's pretty common. Peter opens this epistle by encouraging them to remain strong and reminds them to look to Christ, the source of their salvation and their inheritance in him, and the hope of his return to take the church with him to glory. There's the key ingredient. But let's take a look at this. Peter begins with this stark reminder of the gospel and the hope of the believer in chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Great passage of scripture, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. He then goes on in verse 6, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. You can pick that up in some different versions, and it words that a little bit differently. But verse 6 is powerful. In this you rejoice, though now for just a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. The church is to rejoice in the hope of the gospel, the promised inheritance of eternal salvation, even though maybe for a little while we're faced with various trials. He contrasts their eternal hope with the temporal suffering that they may be facing now, causing his readers to look beyond the trials of here and now and focus their view on the glories of their inheritance. Peter understands that suffering will be normal for the obedient Christian because Christ first suffered for you, leaving you an example to follow in suffering. That's 1 Peter 2, verse 21. Christ first suffered for you, leaving you an example to follow in suffering. Persecution will be a result of following Christ, for the world hated him first and therefore will hate us. That's John 15:18-19. And it is to this end that the scriptures speak much of the eternal glory of God and our inheritance with Christ as a contrast to our temporary affliction. You're talking about eternal glory versus a very temporal time here on this earth. It may feel like an eternity when we're going through trials and going through tribulations and going through affliction, but it's very temporary compared to our eternity with him in Christ if we can continue to follow him. Peter also reiterates the point of Christ's suffering, setting an example for us when he says this, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, for it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. It's better to suffer a little while for doing good, if that should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil, which is not going to be good. Christ suffered once for us, and he suffered as the righteousness for our unrighteousness, that he might bring us unto God. That's 1 Peter 3:17-18. Why would we not expect to suffer for doing good when Christ, the righteous himself, suffered and gave himself up for us, the unrighteous? When Jesus calls us to suffer, he understands how we feel and that we're going and what we're going through. He also suffered, and he is our example in having done so. One of the enemy's greatest tricks is to isolate you, make you feel like you're the only one going through this trial. You're the only one feeling this way. You're the only one struggling through this battle, but it's just not true. It's a lie. Remember, he's a liar. He's a thief. He's a cheat. And he's out to scare tactic you, to isolate you, to push you into a corner. But Jesus himself suffered in the same ways as we do. He understands how we feel. He understands what we're going through, as he also suffered and is our example in having done so. Romans chapter 8, verse 17, Paul says that we are fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Peter further encourages his readers with this exhortation in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 14. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. So we see that suffering is a common theme in the New Testament scriptures. Christ suffered, leaving us an example, and by sharing in his suffering, we also shall become partakers in his glory. Romans verse, chapter 8, verse 16 and 17, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Listen, we're grafted into the vine. We're part of the body of Christ. We're going to have to suffer the things that Christ suffered so that we may be glorified as he is glorified. Now, there's some interesting nature to the trials that we face. Daniel Duraney, he's a Reformed expository commentary person on 1 Peter. He notes that Peter describes our trials in five ways. In verses 6 and 7, first, when compared to eternity, they are brief in duration, though now for a little while is what it says. Secondly, they are varied in form. You have been grieved by various trials. And thirdly, they have kind of a necessity, if necessary, the way it describes that in 1 Peter. Fourth, suffering proves that our faith is real, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. And fifth, suffering will result in praise and glory and honor in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because suffering has a limit and purpose, we can still rejoice in it. We must be honest and admit that joy probably isn't the first response that we think of when considering facing the suffering that we face or the trial that we've gone through or the hardship that we're enduring or have endured. Yet we see this as a constant and a consistent New Testament theme. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 and 12 says, blessed, comforted by inner peace and God's love are those who are persecuted for doing which is morally right. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven both now and forever. Blessed, morally courageous, and spiritually alive with joy and life in God's goodness are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil things against you because of your association with me. Be glad and exceedingly joyful, for your reward in heaven is great, absolutely inexhaustible. For in this same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, the same as Peter's doing in this epistle, Matthew in his gospel points out to our eternal hope and glory as a means to endure our temporary affliction. Whenever we may suffer as Christians, we're to remember that we're safe in God's grace, for he chose us before the world's creation. He was faithful to grant us new birth, which results in the living hope and the future inheritance that we read about in 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. This is the grace of God, And in this we rejoice, no matter what our current circumstance may be, no matter what fiery trial we may face, no matter what thing we must endure at this moment, no matter what affliction has come upon us. This is the grace of God, and in this we rejoice because we have a future. What might be the purpose of our trials and tribulations? Now, again, we see in 1 Peter 1, verse 7, that we are to rejoice in our various kinds of trials so that the tested genuineness of our faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The trials in our lives test our faith. They prove the genuineness of our faith, which is more precious than gold that perishes. Gold's always been considered a precious commodity. It's worth a fortune right now, containing great value. Our faith is considered more precious than even gold, because gold, too, like all material things, perish. You can't take it with you. Our faith has eternal implications. It does not fade or diminish. It is placed in the eternal promises of God, and we are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Like gold, our faith is tested by fire. Actually, gold is tested in a furnace. Silver is tested on a refiner's fire, but gold goes into a furnace heated up even more. Literally, fire tests gold and other precious metals. And metaphorical fire, trials, persecution, suffering, grief, etc., tests our faith. Psalms chapter 66, verse 10, "For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried." Proverbs 17:3, "The crucible is for silver, and the furnace is for gold, and the Lord tests hearts." James chapter 1, verse 2 and 4 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." We see in James 1, verse 2 and 4, suffering promotes an endurance and a perfection of character. And the Apostle Paul also reiterates this in Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4, where we see that we are to rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. There is a great value in suffering for the follower of Christ. Too often we seek to avoid all hardship, or when we find ourselves in the midst of them, we seek to be freed from whatever may have befallen us. It's pretty natural maneuvering there. But rather, maybe we should look at our eternal promises as a means to endure through trials while entrusting our souls to our faithful Creator. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19, "Therefore," remember, "because of this, those who are ill-treated and suffer in accordance with the will of God must continue to do right and commit their souls for safekeeping to the faithful Creator." Even in the midst of painful things, we must continue to do what is right and commit our souls to the safekeeping of our Creator. But when we can also find great encouragement and hope in the fact that we do not suffer alone, for Christ also suffered and provided an example for us. 1 Peter 2, verse 21 through 25, "For as a believer, you have been called for this purpose, since Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you may follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin, nor was deceit ever found in his mouth. While being reviled and insulted, he did not revile or insult in return. While suffering, he made no threats of vengeance, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges fairly. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, willingly offering himself on it as an altar of sacrifice, so that we might die to sin, becoming immune from the penalty and the power of sin, and live for righteousness. For by his wounds, you who believe have been healed. For you were continually wandering like so many sheep, but now you have come back to the shepherd and the guardian of your souls." Our faith is valuable, and God wants to refine it. Just as gold is refined by fire that burns away impurities, likewise, the suffering and the affliction refines our faith, which is far more precious than gold. Our trials are temporary and ultimately have a greater purpose. This does not diminish our grief. It doesn't make what we're going through any easier, but it simply reminds us there's a purpose in our pain and that we have an eternal hope to look forward to amidst our temporary afflictions. for those who endure to the end, is what it states. Words used as synonyms for endure: to abide, to bear, to stand, to suffer, and even to tolerate. While all these words mean to put up with something trying and painful, the word endure, it implies to continue firm or resolute through trial and difficulty. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, I'll close with this. He who has an ear, let him hear and heed what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes the world through believing that Jesus is the Son of God, I will grant the privilege to eat the fruit from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Revelation chapter 2, there's seven letters to seven churches. Each seven letters ends with that same type of phrase: to he who overcomes, to he who endures till the end. It's what God's calling us to do. I don't understand trials, tribulations, troubles that we all face at different times. I have a lot of woe is me moments. I cry out to God frequently because I'm constantly bombarded with struggles, and especially where I stand right now in this day and age, my body's failing me. I'm having all kinds of trouble. I can't even work to produce a living. It's a very challenging time for us. We're having to put a lot of faith and a lot of trust in the Lord. He's never failed us. He's always provided, and he's provided right on time. But he and I have a lot of conversations in these days. We have a lot of windshield time behind that windshield in the truck, going to and from, where I'm calling out to him, reminding him that, you know, the Bible says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and the cow market's pretty good right now. And man, it'd be sure nice to sell maybe 1, 2, or 3 of them little boogers and help me with where I am financially. It's a challenging time, but no matter the challenge, what good would it do to walk away from our faith? No matter the trial that we're going through, no matter the fire that we're facing, what good would it do to give up on the hope that we have in Christ Jesus? He is our only hope in this corrupt, fallen, deceitful world that we live. Without Jesus, there is no hope. And we've got to learn to trust him, even in these hard times, as difficult as they may be, to simply say, Father, I trust you. I believe in you. I know that your word says that you won't fail me, you won't forsake me, you won't leave me behind. So God, I trust you today the same as I did yesterday and the same as I'll do tomorrow. My faith only grows stronger in the midst of trial, because God does come through right in the nick of time, right in the moment we need him the most. And it just bolsters our faith of knowing that he will not ever leave us nor forsake us. And he's never left us begging for bread. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for following along on our podcast. I pray if you find yourself in the midst of a trial, a tribulation right now, that you too find hope in him. You know, the answers are never easy. We may still have to endure hardship, but we cannot lose sight of our hope that we have in Christ, our hope that we have an eternal hope that one day these trials and tribulations here on this earth will be over, and we will be in eternity rejoicing with him and others who have gone before us. Amen. Ron and I love you. We thank you so much for your support. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for walking with us on this journey. May God bless you. We're praying for you. We're praying for God to unleash over you. Holy Spirit, we give you the room. Holy Spirit, we yield our lives to you today. Have your way in us. Use us however you need to, that your kingdom be advanced, that those who are lost might be found. Amen. God bless you. We love you. We'll talk to you again real soon.